Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Poetry in Motion podcast on the Blood Red Channel with Neil Fitzmaurice, bringing you all the big news and even bigger views on Liverpool FC.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Poetry in Motion. How are you doing? Okay, I hope you're okay. Just got back off a little holiday, so I'm feeling a little bit more refreshed. Actually, I'm not. I'm knackered. I don't know what happened there. I was on a cruise, so there was lots of beer and lots of walking behind people who walked really slow. Make up your own reasons for that. Welcome back anyway. Thank you for joining in with this Poetry in Motion podcast. One, of course, of the Blood Red podcasts for the Liverpool Echo. Ali LaRouge being the other one as well, and all the Blood Red banner. Thank you so much for your support. As I always say, wherever you are, walking the dogs or enjoying this lovely damp air, I hope you're having fun anyway. And we're going to talk everything to Liverpool Football Club. I'm joined by Joe Rimmer. How are you doing, Joe?
Welcome, Fitzy. How are you?
I'm not too bad, my friend. Not too bad. And Tom Cavilla's with us. Hi, Tom.
Hello. I'm good, thanks. Yeah, good, thank you.
You look like they can't see this, but it looks like you're waiting for a lift.
I'm just in our office in Liverpool, so we've got the recording studio going on in here. So that's the reason for that.
It's not as big as it used to be.
No,
not in his anymore. Right, okay, let's talk all things Liverpool Football Club. While I was away, managed to catch one of the games. Obviously, we had the frustration of the Tottenham game and the nonsense of VAR and all that palaver. Brighton came. It was always going to be a tough game, Joe Rimmer. Brighton, a good side, very good side. Always, they seem to find this. Maybe we should just sign their scouting team because they seem to have this dearth of talent that just seems to come through. This endless well of young players replacing the ones they sell on for huge profits. They played very good, Liverpool, but really speaking, gifted two goals away, didn't he, Joe? And there's certain parts there that we're still not getting right, isn't there?
Yeah, it was frustrating one, wasn't it? I think when you get yourself in a winning position, miss the chance that Gravenberch missed at the start of that second half, and then concede a pretty, it wasn't a great free kick, was it? It was a pretty simple goal to concede. It is frustrating, and I think as well the extra level of frustration was that they'd played ever so well at Tottenham, obviously been beaten by VAR and crazy circumstances, and I was sort of hoping they'd come out of Tottenham and channel that injustice and anger into the next game, and it just didn't really feel like they did that. And then, you know, I think if they'd won at Brighton, it wouldn't have made up for Tottenham, but it would have felt slightly better, you know, having looked at those two games and thought they were both quite tough. It felt like they didn't really make as much out of them as they could have done. So, I mean, it was frustrating, but I think there's lots of positives, and I think there is clear progress from last season, and I think I'm trying to look beyond Brighton and just look at the first eight games as a whole. And I'm really positive about Liverpool. I definitely think they're the second best team in the Premier League. Whether they can keep that up with injuries and other things going against them, we'll see. But, you know, the forward line's great. Szoboszlai looks great. There's some little bits and bobs in midfield that I think are very promising. So it's one of them. Yeah, I try to sort of step back from Brighton, but yeah, it was frustrating not to take all 3 points, and especially another international break going into that. But Liverpool have got a little run of games now, and I think they should be looking for maximum points, certainly out the next four. And if they can do that, then I think we'll go into another international break in November, in a very, very good position indeed, and going into a busy period at Christmas. So I think there's lots to be positive about. And I think days like that at Brighton, you shouldn't get too overly concerned with dropping points, because that can happen to any team. And it's a difficult away game that Liverpool have navigated with the points. So, yeah, frustrating circumstances to drop the 2 points. But in isolation, it's not a bad point, is it, really?
No, absolutely. And Tom, you know, as Joe just said, sitting quietly in fourth, three places off the top, 3 points off the top. If it was a horse race, we'd be right in the middle of the pack, and that's where you want them, isn't it? You want to just see that they're nudging ahead, and they're keeping up there anyway. The frustrations of Brighton. I think one of the main things for me that stood out from it, when you look at the next four games Liverpool have got, of course, the derby on Saturday. They've got Toulouse, they've got Notts Forest, Bournemouth and Luton, and then Brentford. Brentford themselves having a bit of a struggle at the moment, aren't they, to find some sort of form and Ivan Toney in the ranks. As Joe says, you've got to be looking for points from there, haven't you? But I feel like, for me personally, the midfield situation we have in Alexis McAllister, we have a player who is really, really struggling to play in a different position. It's midfield. It's a completely different role, though. He's holding in front of the back four, back to goal a lot of the time, receiving the ball, moving it on. He's not moving forward as much as he likes. It's a completely different discipline to have, Tom, isn't it? And he does seem to be struggling with it game after game.
Yeah, I think the problem Liverpool have obviously got is the, you know, who else you play there instead of him. I think if McAllister kind of had his own way, I don't think he would be want to play there either. So I think he's more just going along with it because, you know, that keeps him in the team for the time being. You know, you've got Endo's been sat on the bench, is the obvious play you would put there, but for some reason Klopp's not gone for that. Maybe he's still, you know, quite not sure about whether that's the right fit for Liverpool at the moment, which, I don't know, we've seen it with other players before where Klopp, you know, takes a bit of time to look at them before fully putting them in the team, but it does seem a bit strange that would be the case with Endo, considering how much he kind of talked him up when Liverpool signed him, in terms of this was a player he'd been watching for a number of years and, you know, someone he really admired playing in the Bundesliga. So when he was, you know, the way he was talking about him, you were thinking, oh, he must be some player then. Klopp's, you know, personally recommended signing him to Liverpool, and, you know, it very much sounded like signing that came about because of him, because of Klopp, not necessarily the scouting team or someone above him. So the fact that we've not really seen him and that he's not really been trusted to play in that number six is a bit strange. But yeah, McAllister, I think going forward, it's not, you know, it's not where we want to see him playing. It's not where he's at his best. We've seen him when he plays for Argentina, that kind of more advanced position, like moving into the box with the ball. We need to see that at Liverpool. But, you know, when that will happen, we don't know. Klopp's obviously tried other players in this role as well. We saw Curtis Jones in pre-season used in the six, and that didn't quite work either. So I think it's a position that Liverpool haven't quite fixed still. You know, Liverpool obviously sold Fabinho in the summer. You know, probably the right decision in the end for all parties. But, you know, it's a position that Liverpool probably still need to address. And whether that happens in January, we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, there's a lot of talk of Andre at Fluminense, but yeah, it's something that probably does need looking at.
Yeah, Andre is the one that's been ticking for a while now. I mean, Calvin Phillips keeps getting thrown into the mix. He played for England the other night. It's definitely a position that we haven't sorted out. Do you think Klopp's probably surprised at McAllister's not really getting the situation at the moment, Joe? It's such a different position and such a different mindset, isn't it, for a player who likes to, you know, gallop forward with the ball and unpick defences with nice passes and be outside on the edge of the box there, just wanting to sort of lay off for people or even going himself. And now he's sort of sitting with his back to goal a lot of the time, looking for passes out of defence and trying to move forward. And he's just being caught out game after game. And I don't think there's really a standout game from McAllister at the moment. And the first goal against Brighton kind of summed that up to me. It wasn't the best ball in the world from Van Dijk, but a Fabinho or a Genie or someone with a little bit of nous, knowing there's going to be players pressing, would have maybe took a second on that ball, back to goals, you know, leaned into the player, made it difficult, knocked the ball back. He just got snatched completely. He looked around, saw the player, didn't think he was going to get there. And the player took it off his toe, and it was really, really bad defensive midfield work. And you get to the point where, I'm getting to the point now where I just think, you know, get Endo on and let's try and get McAllister to learn this very different and very new role in training, and instead of trying to take these chances on the pitch, because you know, it feels to me like he's got a mistake in him every game now, John.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and I think it's holding back Liverpool back in a couple of ways, because, like you say, I think there's a mistake in him. I don't think he obviously is natural in that position. And also, like, what could he give Liverpool going further forward? You know, that midfield could look a lot better, couldn't it, if he was playing, you know, in a position that he wants to play. I wonder about Endo. I think in the next month we'll find out whether he was bought as a stopgap and they, you know, like we've seen it with other players, perhaps not to the same extent, but Arthur Melo last year sort of comes to mind, who came in. They obviously took one look at him in training and thought, you know what, he's not right for us, not quick enough the pace, whatever it might be. Whereas Endo, not sure I'd completely get that vibe. I think at the moment it might be a more of a Fabinho situation where they just don't feel like he's quite ready to be thrown in there. But in the next four or five games, you know, Liverpool are playing the likes of Luton, Sheffield United. They've got some good home games. If we don't start seeing him play a bit more, I'd start to worry whether they just don't think he's right for it. So, you know, I can kind of understand if you go to Tottenham away, Brighton away, you're not quite sure whether you want to throw Endo in. And you know, perhaps it doesn't help him or Liverpool if he doesn't have the best of games. But I think now they've got an opportunity too. And funny enough, I've thought Endo, I know... Look, I don't think he's a patch on a Fabinho, but in the couple of games he has played, I've been quite impressed by the type of passes that he wants to play. He seems to want to play sharp passes forward, you know, one, two touches, and he certainly, positioning wise, I think looks like he's got a little bit more about him than McAllister in that role. So I'm hopeful that he comes into the team in the next few games. But like you say, just I think as well, the longer it goes on for McAllister, the more it might not help him in the long term, because confidence-wise, it can't be good for him, can it, when he probably is second-guessing himself, like you say. That Van Dijk ball, I thought was a pretty bad pass to play into him, but it won't help McAllister's confidence that it was him that loses the ball in that position for Brighton to score. So, yeah, I think it's a problem that... It's the main problem, isn't it, for Liverpool to solve in the next month to 6 weeks. And if they don't, then it might go some way to sort of, I would say, derailing their season is strong words, but certainly maybe not a title challenge. It might be a top four challenge if they can't solve that problem. But yeah, I think, as Tom mentioned, Andre, you know, looks like they are interested in him. I'd be surprised if they don't try and make something happen in January if this Endo situation and McAllister situation continues, because I can't see them trying to get through the full season playing with McAllister in this position, because it's not really good for anyone, is it?
No, and you'd like to think, obviously, that Klopp has been on this horse before, hasn't he? And he knows where it ends. If you don't tighten up in those right areas, he's desperately trying to do it. International break, obviously, has come and gone. Injuries to Andy Robertson, more importantly. But injuries aside, our players in other international teams did very, very well, really, didn't he? Nunes shining again. Szoboszlai did very well, though. His manager admitted afterwards he reckons he played him too high up the pitch, too far back, sorry, for him to be influential. He's a player, Tom, isn't he, that is really catching the eye at Liverpool, but needs, in that midfield structure, we need a hold midfielder. We need a defensive midfielder. But in in Zlobislav, we have a great attacking midfielder, don't we?
Yeah, and I think must admit I've been a bit surprised how well he's done so quickly at Liverpool. I didn't think he would hit the ground running as he has done so quickly. I think it's been very impressive the way he's come in. You know, when you watch him, he looks like he's been there for a number of years. The way he's been playing, takes example in the team. You know, he's a real leader. He's captain for his country, and you can see that when he plays for Liverpool. You know, he's got that sort of leadership quality on the pitch. So, yeah, I think he's been, you know, a really good signing for Liverpool. You know, there was a lot of money they paid for him, but I think he's already, you know, looking like he was worth the money from what we've been seeing from him at this moment in time. Obviously, Jude Bellingham was the main guy they were going for. And you see what he's doing and you kind of think, well, yeah, they did miss out on him, but Szoboszlai was probably the next best thing to Bellingham they could have got from what we've seen. So, yeah, I think it's been very positive from Szoboszlai in terms of who Liverpool brought in the summer. You know, McAllister, I think he's done well. He's had his problems like you've just been touching on there. I still think he's been, you know, we've seen good moments from him. And if he was played in the right position, he probably would have done, well, could have done as well as Szoboszlai. But obviously he's been the main one that's, you know, been catching everyone's eye for Liverpool. And, you know, I'm sure Klopp and everyone else who worked on that deal will be, you know, be pleased they managed to get it over the line because, you know, with his age as well, he's going to be someone that Liverpool can be calling on for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years if he stays at the club, obviously. But yeah, hopefully he can, you know, have another good game at the weekend for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's not just his skill as well, Joe, is it? It's his work rate, isn't it? He gets about the place, doesn't he? He looks like a number eight. He covers 3 or 4 positions. He's got that Nunes, if you like, feel to him when he's galloping forward and trying to get involved and stuff. And been looking for a player like that to fill that role since probably Gerrard left, I would imagine. Unfortunately, you have mentioned the magic words Jude Bellingham, Tom, so I will be depressed for the rest of the day. But you know, in Szoboszlai, we have someone, don't we, Joe, that can really threaten, get outside that box, get in there himself, scores a couple of good goals. And one that we can really build around.
You know, the most impressive thing I think about Szoboszlai, that I think Liverpool in the summer needed a bit of a mindset shift. I felt like they'd gone a bit stale. I felt like Klopp felt they'd gone a bit stale. Even Klopp and his demeanour was, just seemed slightly edgy and down. And Szoboszlai, more than anyone, has come in this summer and just looks like he's got like this, you know, I don't know whether arrogance is the right word, but he's got like a good arrogance about him. Like, he believes in himself. He thinks, I think he was asked, wasn't he, at the start of the season, you know, whether Liverpool can win the Premier League, and he was like bang up for it. And I think it's that sort of attitude that Liverpool needed. I think they had become a bit tired, and I think they did need change. And I think he represents it. And he's, I mean, on the pitch, he's great. He does a bit of everything, like you say. He's got drive. He's got a lot of strength. He strikes the ball really well. He covers ground really well. His work rate is nuts, isn't it? You know, it's so impressive. It's one of them. You know, as a player, I was like Jordan Henderson, and I thought he had a great engine on him. But Szoboszlai seems to have that engine, but has other attributes on top of that. You know, he strikes the ball better. He looks more of a threat in the box. And he seems to have the same sort of winning mentality, which is really important. So, yeah, I think he's been a revelation. As soon as you both mentioned Bellingham, I'll also be depressed for the rest of the day. But yeah, I mean, I'll never look at Bellingham. He's just, to me, will always be a missed opportunity. I'm certain he'd have moved to Liverpool if they've got their house in order earlier in his career, whether it'd been before Dortmund, just after Dortmund, just after a year or so at Dortmund. You know, I'm convinced he felt Liverpool was right for him. And you look at him now and he's an absolute phenomenon. And it will always kind of pull up my heartstrings that they didn't manage to get that across the line at any point. But yeah, I mean, Szoboszlai, I'm really pleased that they did get Szoboszlai because he looks a hell of a player. And again, you know, you talk about the best signings of the summer. And, you know, Jörg Schmacker has got a little bit of stick in his Ibiza and Villa, hasn't he? But he got that across the line. I mean, 60 mil, they did it over a couple of days. You know, Newcastle couldn't get that deal done. Liverpool did get it done really quickly. And look at them now. I mean, we could be looking back at that as the best signing of the summer. I know there's been some shouts for Rice and other things, but for value for money and over a full season, I wonder whether we'll be saying Szoboszlai, because I wouldn't be surprised if we are. He's that good.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, and we're going to probably in the not too distant future realise how important it is to have players like that in our team, because Newcastle, if they can keep Tonali out the bookies long enough, but it looks like they could be without him for quite a bit of the season, and he's been such an influential player for them. Obviously, events worldwide have been horrendous, and Mo Salah's commented on that. He's got 18.4 million followers on X, and you know, stuff like that must get to players as well. And no better way to try and cheer yourself up a little bit, or sort of, is to get back to what you normally do. And of course, we have only a small matter of the derby to contend with on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. And tasty affairs of late, haven't they? Just because of the little bit of needling, I think, that Dyche has with Klopp. They seem to have formed a little double act of taking the mickey out of each other, don't they? And Tom, this looks like it could be an interesting fixture. Liverpool, as I say, have had a loss and a draw last two out, but I've had a great run going. Everton just starting to find a bit of momentum now, aren't they? They're starting to believe in themselves a little bit more. Should we be expecting a tasty encounter at Anfield, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. It's a bit of a difficult one to call, actually, this one, because I think normally at home against Everton, you know, most Liverpool fans would be saying, yeah, it's 3 points, could be 3 or 4 nil. But I don't know, it's got a bit of a slightly different feeling about this time, only because of, you know, the way we've seen Liverpool start in games this season, especially the early kickoffs, where it's been that slow start, taking a while to get used to the rhythm of the game. We saw it in the game against Wolves. That was directly after an international break and 12:30 game. Liverpool just were not at it for the whole of the first half, and then only started playing the second half. My worry with Everton is then, because, you know, they've had a lot of players that haven't been, you know, jetting off to South America, or people that just haven't played at all for any national football. So, you know, they'll be well rested compared to Liverpool. So, you know, they imagine they're going to have a bit more energy coming into the game. You imagine Dyche is probably going to tell them, you know, go at them early doors, try and get an early goal, and then we can defend that for the rest of the game. So, you know, if Everton were to get the first goal, I think that's where it could become a bit of a problem for Liverpool, because you just know that they're not going to give anything to Liverpool. They're not going to want to let them have any opportunities. It will just be sitting back, defending for the rest of the game. And that's exactly what Dyche would want, to get an early goal and have that kind of situation. You know, we saw a derby similar to that a few years ago when, you know, it was Sam Allardyce coming to Anfield, and Liverpool, I think, had something stupid like 20 shots or absolutely dominated the game, and Everton came away with a point after that foul that was given on Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which was quite controversial at the time. So I just got a bad feeling it could be a similar sort of game to that one, where Liverpool come out of it thinking, how did we not win? But I imagine as well, it wouldn't surprise me if we see a red card. We've seen a lot of them this season already in a lot of games. And given the nature of this fixture over the years, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to see another red card this weekend.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We've got a couple of injuries, obviously, to take into that game. Andy Robertson won't be playing. He looks like he's dislocated his shoulder, done some damage to his shoulder, Joe. So Tomiskus will sit in there nicely, I think. Apart from that, it's Gakpo, really. I mean, Thiago, I forgot what he looks like. It's been that long since he's been anywhere near Liverpool squad. Bešetić, Kelleher. So we've got more than enough to sort of, you know, to fill in the gaps, haven't we? I think Gravenberg is a player that that has been impressive, Joe, hasn't he? He's made the right start to his career at Liverpool. He, front foot player, bit of pace to him, lovely skills on him. Should have had, let's be honest with you, should have had a goal there. Come on, looked like it had popped up and he shinned it onto the bar. He just took his eye off it. But he looks like he gets in the right places, mate, doesn't he? And he looks like he's going to be, we've got, as I say, Cody Gakpo out at the moment. And Gravenberch, it seemed like he's ready to fulfil a role from the start now.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like Gakpo, and Gravenberch. I think he's got sort of, I don't quite know what he will become with Liverpool. You know, I had this idea in mind when he joined that they were maybe trying going to mould him into like the next Wijnaldum. But he's more attacking than I perhaps thought he was. He seems to get into the box, doesn't he? That one at Brighton. I thought it was one of those classic cases of hit it almost too well, you know, that sort of thing. When he connected with it. But yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how he evolves. I still don't think I would be looking to start him because I just don't know where I'd fit him into that midfield at this stage. Certainly in like a game against Everton, but in general, I think he shows a lot of promise. I think again, it's a gamble that Liverpool took in the transfer market, which I think could really pay off. And you know, you think of his age and stuff like that. I mean, the ceiling is so high, isn't it? That again, Liverpool deserve credit for that. In terms of the derby, I mean, I kind of agree with Tom. I'm not saying that I still think Liverpool can win the game. I just think it will be a bit of a slog. I think Dyche is quite good at shutting it down. And, you know, although Everton have been slightly better than perhaps their results have shown this season, you know, I watched them against Aston Villa away from home and they really struggled. And I wonder whether, you know, in normal circumstances, if this wasn't a derby, Liverpool would do that a similar sort of job on them. But with it being a derby, I just think he'll shut it down, Dyche. They'll play for time. They'll be dogged. And Klopp always sort of, against his Burnley teams, they always manage to turn it into a slog. And it wouldn't surprise me if Everton do the same, especially with a 12:30 kickoff, which isn't the best, is it? So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting. But then after that, they've got a good run of games. So if Liverpool can win the derby, I'm really positive. I think they've got a great run of games they can get into. So, yeah, it should be interesting. But I don't think I'd start Gravenberch. I'd probably take a gamble on Endo for this one and start McAllister and Szoboszlai in midfield alongside. And that's the way I'd go and look for Gravenberch off the bench. But yeah, I think he's got real, real promise.
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, I think Tom, I mean, Evan, as Joe just said, Evan have been playing better than the results suggested. I've watched them a couple of times and, you know, they weren't hopeless. I think it was just their final third, wasn't it? They're lacking goal scorers, aren't they? Calvert-Lewin back in the mix. And they have got people there. They've got a decent midfield as well. So it could be a sprightly one, really, couldn't it? And I think he's right. I think Endo, as I said earlier on in the show, I personally would make the decision. I don't know whether he wants to make the decision in a derby or whether he feels that McAllister's got a bit to give. But I just feel like he's a little bit lost in that position at the moment. And it would be better to have someone in who just does simple things. Endo does simple things. He's not going to spray a 40-yard pass to your toe, but he's going to get the ball up there somehow. And I think that stability is what is needed, I think, against Everton, Tom.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you were saying, with Everton as well, that's probably their strongest area on the pitch, the midfield as well. So yeah, I don't think it's the game to be taking any more risks with McAllister in that position. You know, Everton have got some really powerful players in midfield, Doucouré, Onana, people like that in the midfield who are good at breaking up the game, you know, are good at making interceptions in key positions. So if you've got McAllister in there who's, you know, struggling to find his feet again in that role, they're just going to be sweeping up the ball every opportunity, Everton. Yeah, I think Endo is the obvious choice for this game. I don't think there's really an argument for McAllister in this game to be playing him. But obviously Klopp's the one who makes the final decision on it. So he may well go with McAllister again and think it's the best thing. And then if it backfires, obviously Klopp will, you know, I'm sure we'll get all the questions about that after the game in terms of why was McAllister playing. But I don't think he would risk it for this sort of fixture. So I would be surprised if he played McAllister, but you never know with football managers. Sometimes it can be quite stubborn. So if you think Klopp may think it's the right thing and may go, well, I'm just going to keep trying this until it works. So yeah, we'll see what he picks. But I think Endo is the one he's likely to go with.
Front three, Joe. I mean, you've got Nunes who seems to be picking up, doesn't he? Did very well, assisted and scored against Brazil. Szoboszlai also did the same thing in his international match. But that the front five, really. I mean, Gakpo out the picture a little bit at the moment because he's injured, but you're certainly in Jota, you've got someone who can always do something. And you always fancy him in slog games, don't you? You always fancy him to do something in those tough matches and where you've got to dig deep. But do you think you start with Diaz, Nunes and Salah? I mean, Harvey Elliott did very well for the under-21s, didn't he, in the England. He's been featuring as well. I've been doing very, very well. But you think that front three's got to be Nunes still deserving that place, don't you? He's still working hard enough. And against Everton, he could be one to watch for the red card. But at the same time, he will really stir things up, won't he?
I think it's got to be Diaz, Nunes, Salah. I just think at the moment, I mean, Salah is just Salah, isn't he? Diaz is just a better balance and I think started the season really well. But Nunes, to me at the moment, is the man for Liverpool. And obviously, his confidence after that international break. I mean, it's not just that he scored and assisted, is it? It was that he scored and assisted against Brazil. It was a massive result for Uruguay. You could see how much it meant to them. And it was a great header, wasn't it? The first goal was really, really well taken. And then the second goal was sort of Suarez-esque in the way that he sort of managed to dribble through, I don't know, it seems about 20 bodies, didn't it? And so, sort of flicked the ball through for them to score. So there were two really good goals. And I just think against Everton in a slog, he's the man that I just think can cause a bit of chaos. He's the sort of player that can do something out of nothing and sort of, I don't know. Well, I think a derby's just right for him as well. You know, hopefully he doesn't get a red card. I don't think that those sorts of things will be in his head anymore. But yeah, I think it's great for him. I like Gakpo. I think he's a good central player away from home, especially. But for this one, it's got to be Nunes. Elliot's a funny one. You mentioned him, but I like Elliot. I think he's got a lot of skill and a lot of ability, but I just don't know where he fits in long term. You know, I don't think he's a wide player because I don't think he's got the pace or the physical attributes. And then in midfield, I don't really like him off the right anymore. I feel like teams have worked him out a little bit. So I'll be interested to see how he sort of develops throughout the season. But yeah, I just don't know where he gets in a Liverpool team at the moment. And what was it, the game he played the other day? And he played the first half of it. He was subbed at half time.
Brighton.
Was it Brighton? Okay, great. The last game. Sorry, it's this international break has dragged, but I thought that, Gravenberch came on, didn't he? I thought that showed a lot. You know, he was given a big opportunity in that game and don't think he necessarily took it. I'm not too sure where Elliot fits in terms of the way Liverpool play at the moment. But Nunes is the absolute man and I can't wait to see him in the derby. I think it's going to be a really good one for him and he does seem the type of player that needs those streaks of confidence. So I think they should do him good and hopefully, you know, he did well in the last international break. Hopefully he hits the ground again running from this one as well because he looks like he's in great form and he's got the great mindset at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But he is the one, Tom, isn't he? If you're Dyche and you're sitting in a dressing room beforehand and you're thinking like they're playing Nunes, you're saying to Tarkovsky and those centre-backs, aren't you? You're saying, just niggle him, just have a little go at him, just say something to him, just pull his shirt, give him. Because he does have that temper, doesn't he? He has that fiery quality, which makes him such a great player. He's got to really be careful, hasn't he? You've got to know and also understand that Klopp, probably in the other dressing room, is saying to him, you're going to get a bit of it. You're going to get afters. You're going to get niggles. You're going to get little words said to you. You've got to... might not be too handy, the fact he doesn't speak any English, so he won't be able to understand it. I don't know how his English is going, but he's got to be played well, hasn't he, is my point, Tom. He's got to be played well. Not played well as much as played well. He has to understand what's going to come up at him at Everton because the passion of the Anfield crowd, and no doubt the passion of the Evertonians in their end as well, it's going to make it fired up. He knows what this is like. He's just come back off a Uruguay-Brazil game. He knows what's at stake with this derby and where Liverpool's place is, and he's really going to go for it. And he really has to be mindful of the tactics that are going to be played against him.
Yeah, and obviously he found that out on his home debut last season when he got that red card for that headbutt. So, yeah, I think that game against Crystal Palace, I think he obviously was just... a bit naive in doing that and, you know, new to the league and was just easily wound up by Anderson that night, who was just sort of pulling away at him and, you know, pulling his shirt every chance he got. So I'm sure Klopp was you know, would have spoken to him about that after that incident and make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again. And obviously the derby would be, you know, the best time for Everton to do that sort of thing. And we probably will see it, like you said. I'm sure that'll be part of the tactics for the game. But I'm not actually sure if I know Joe was saying obviously you'd start him in and stuff, but would you not Jota surely would be playing this from the start in this game? I think Klopp's probably gonna, I wouldn't be surprised if he started him
and then Jota
on in the game. Yeah.
What do you mean? Because it's 12:30 and they'll have been coming back, won't they? From, but I just not Jota. It's weird with Jota, I just don't really like him from the start at all. I think he's a great
He's a good impact player. Sub, isn't he? But I just think because he's had that rest and he's been suspended, I just think this makes sense to that we'll see him from the start in this game.
Possibly. I just don't, do you really want to drop Nunes at the moment, the way he's
playing? No, I wouldn't want him to be dropped, but I just think with him coming back from this, from South America, he mentioned he had a bit of tightness after the game. I don't know, he could obviously come on and make a big impact from the bench. I think you'd like to see him start ideally, but I just think Jota might be the guy for this one.
I suppose it depends on the condition he comes back in, doesn't it?
Either way, we've got, if we start one impact player is good. Yeah. They can both be brilliant impact players, can't they?
Yeah.
It looks, Tom, like it's likely to be the usual Trent doing the inverted midfield again. It seems to be something that Klopp is desperately trying to get working again. But again, we've discussed it. It all depends on who's back with him, doesn't it? It depends on who's going to cover that slot that he leaves open. And knowing that every team's going to know what's going to be happening, he's got to pick and choose his times when he can go forward, doesn't he?
Poetry in Motion on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, especially in this sort of game as well, because Everton are probably going to, you know, when they get their chances, it's going to be hitting Liverpool on the break. That's when Everton have scored against Liverpool in these sort of games in recent times. It's been that sort of goal, a counter-attack, or, you know, Liverpool giving away the ball and then Everton will quickly break away with it. So it's going to be important, like Trent is in the right areas and not, you know, moving too forward with the attack too much in the game. You know, we've seen that at certain times where Trent, you know, sometimes he will come forward with the ball and pushes up quite far up the pitch to the point where he's, you know, on the edge of the area. So yeah, in this sort of game, we need to be careful of that because it only takes, you know, a minute for Everton to flood the bodies forward, get a goal, and then that could be it. They go 1-0 up and just shut the game down. So yeah, Liverpool need to be careful of that. And I'm sure Trent's now, he's got to the point where he's probably a bit more used to what is expected of him in this position. And it's just going to be more interesting. I'm sort of less concerned about Trent and more concerned about the other side, really, in terms of Tsimikas and how that's going to work, really, because we've only really seen him, you know, a few occasions, Tsimikas. It's never really been for a run of games either. It's only kind of been the odd appearance here and there. So to come into this sort of game, it's going to be interesting to see how he does.
Yes, it is indeed. Well, let's look at the games then. We've got Everton. I mean, we've got a Europa League and an EFL Cup to put in the mix there. But so Toulouse and Bournemouth aside, Toulouse twice, to be honest with you. Our next four big games are Everton at the weekend. Then we've got Notts Forest, Luton Town and Brentford. And then, of course, the ultimate test, isn't it? Because we have City away. Now, if we can, let's get on our best, on our glass completely full, and say that we take points from the derby, from Forest, who went at home as well. We're home to Forest. In fact, we're only away to Luton. So the next four games, Joe, Brentford, Forest, Everton, all at home, and Luton away. I mean, it's not being too optimistic, is it, to say that 12 points out of this should be within Liverpool's grasp, shouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Liverpool should be looking for maximum points out of these next games. I have no doubt about it. You know, when you look at the starts of the season teams have had, you know, someone pointed out the other day that Tottenham obviously done really, really well, but they've played all three promoted sides in Luton, Sheffield United, and the other one escapes me. So quickly save me. Someone tell me who the other promoted sides.
Burnley.
Burnley, of course, yeah. So they played those three, and they're probably three of, I don't mean this in a disrespectful manner, but three of the worst promoted teams I've seen in a little while. I mean, Luton certainly don't look great. Sheffield United have already lost the game 8-0 and haven't looked great. And Burnley just don't look like they play the right sort of football for that type of team. So, I mean, they've played all three of them. So Liverpool should be looking, you know, Luton away, certainly 3 points. Nottingham Forest at home. Anyone at home, you want to win, don't you? But Nottingham Forest, Brentford. So I think if they can get out the derby with 3 points, and people might dismiss Everton, but it's always going to be tougher with a derby, and especially at 12:30. So they can bounce back into action with 3 points on Saturday. I just think they've got to look for maximum points. And I think they've got to look, you know, they'll hopefully beat Toulouse home and away. They'll want to beat Bournemouth and progress in the League Cup. You know, if they can, and then the City games after the next international break, isn't it? So they've got a run of games here now that they should be looking to win every one of them and go into the next international break as the team everyone's talking about. And all right, you've got a tough game at City there, but if you go on it in the back, go into that game on the back of really good results, then anything can happen, can't it? And Liverpool can be really right up there with their confidence. So, you know, there's absolutely no way that they should be thinking that they should even draw one of these games. I think maximum points has got to be what they're aiming for, and you just have to see what happens. You know, we did a pod the other day, and I sort of argued another one of our team because they were saying, "Oh, Liverpool should aim for the top four." And I just think you just aim for the top of the table, don't you? You aim to win the title. City have slipped up a couple of times. Tottenham, I'm not convinced, can carry this on. Arsenal will always, to me, remain a team until they finally win a league title. You know, like Liverpool did, there'd be a team that can slip away. And I certainly think that Liverpool, if they can gather a bit of momentum, can make an unlikely run at this. And these are the sorts of games where you need to gather momentum, don't you?
I think you're absolutely right. I think Liverpool have the squad, albeit one player, albeit that one position. I think once we get that midfield, that Fabinho-type player who can just hold stuff up, break down attacks, get the ball moving forward quickly, and then we rehouse McAllister in a position that he wants to play in and loves to play in with Szoboszlai, we'll have a formidable team. I just hope it doesn't go so far and we don't get so close that we lose the league by a point. Because if we do, then, you know, the VAR situation will be all the more important, won't it? More important than Rodri's obvious handball in against Everton that lost us the point, lost us the league by a point. But it is a big one. Let's get some scores then. Let's get a prediction. Let's get a derby prediction anyway. Tom, you first, my friend. As I say, we've got Brentford and Newcastle and Notts Forest. Both teams beat us last year, so we've got to make sure that we don't take anything for granted. If we can get 12 points from the next four games, then we are right up there. As I say, we're only 3 points off the top now in a nice little close group, but I feel like some of that group will fall away. Tom, Everton, are you gonna trust in the in a nil, or are we not quite at that stage yet? I know we went in the last pod. Are we quite at that stage yet where we can say we're going to score with none in our net?
I can see Everton scoring, to be honest. Just what I was saying before about the early start and the early kickoff time, it just, for whatever reason, it just seems to throw Liverpool off. So, you know, you'd want to see a quick start and a Liverpool racing into an early lead, but I just think that trend's going to carry on again. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if Everton, you know, went 1-0 up and then we see that response from Liverpool again. I think that Liverpool win 2-1, but I think Everton will score and I think they might even get the first goal in the game. So I'll say 2-1.
Okay, Tom, Joe?
Yeah, I think it'll be quite similar to last year. I think 2-1 as well. I think it's a good shot for Tom. I think Liverpool might be waiting until quite late in the game to score. I just think they'll make it a bit of a slog. But yeah, I think Liverpool can win this.
I'm going 4-1 Liverpool. But I do think Everton have got a good chance of either getting the first goal or maybe an early equaliser because we're just not at that stage, as well as Alisson has been pulling us out of the mire. But I just feel like these slow starts, things are getting really annoying now. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I feel like there does seem to be a sort of wake up smell of coffee type of thing to Liverpool in the first half of matches these days. But I just think that firepower is going to be too much for that defence. And I'm being very optimistic and I'm feeling an optimistic mood. Maybe it was the cruise. I don't know. I had plenty of time to think, Smithers. So I'm going to go 4-1. We're going 2-2-1s and a 4-1. Either way, it is a tasty match. They always are. Probably 0-0, but I love it now. But it is the first of four matches before, as I said. We've got two Europa Leagues, but we have that big litmus test, isn't it, when you play City, particularly at their place as well, coming up. But by then, fingers crossed, we'll have had four in the bag and we'll be there or thereabouts. Thank you very much, Joe. As always, mate, thanks for your help and your opinions on the Reds. And Tom, thank you very much, mate. I think that lift's coming out behind you. It's such a great bag, and no one can see it. Such a shame. It looks like a really thin lift. Listen, enjoy yourself in that stationary cupboard, mate, not for too long. And I'll see you in the next one. Thanks very much, mate. Thank you to both of our contributors today. Once again, keep on supporting the Reds, as I know you do. Keep listening to the podcast, as I know you do. Onwards and upwards. Lovely little fourth place in the pack. Three off the top. It's nothing. It is tight. Well within Liverpool, and it's a much stronger squad this time around. Join us on the very next Poetry in Motion.
You've been listening to Poetry in Motion from the Liverpool Echo's Blood Red Channel.